You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so today is Blue Monday, the most depressing day of the year. And I'm fighting it, man. I'm fighting it. I'm here. I made it. But let me break down a couple of things for you guys, all right? So for those of you not familiar, listening on radio, watching on TV.
You went to San Fran yesterday and supported your team.
Yeah.
And I've only got one question. Do you want to back me and join the Bills Mafia with me?
No, I'm not doing that.
What?
My team was in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Now, they did not show up. They got smoked. They got embarrassed. It was as bad of an experience I've had in a long time as a sporting fan.
Just watching the game.
Just watching the game. Yeah. Oh, the whole ambiance. And
amazing.
Incredible. Incredible stadium. Full credit to Niner fans. Like, they showed up.
They must have been jacked up and been like, this is...
I went zen in the second half. Like, the game was over. It was 27-0. And I had, like, a weird out-of-body experience where I was just like, I'm happy to be here. Like, as a sports fan, I just love... That's my life. Like, that's our life. That's what we do. I'm looking around. The sun was down. The lights came up. There's 70,000 hooligans in there. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so happy I'm here right now.
Was there one exchange between you and your brother-in-law where it was like, want to just go?
No.
Because we
27 nothing.
But let me explain a couple of things. If I was from the Bay Area and a Packer fan, probably I would have left. Like in the end of the third quarter or something, I'd be like, let's beat traffic and go home.
Well, if you've been to that stadium multiple times and, you know, all of that.
But we're in San Francisco. We fly all the way there, you know, around the continent to get there. And we were catching a red eye. We had nowhere to go. There's no point in us leaving. What are we going to do? Go to the airport early? There was no point in that. So it never really dawned on us, and we wanted the full experience. And so we were never really thinking about leaving. But the game was over. I'll tell you when the game ended. 4th and 1 on the 50-yard line, the first possession of the game for Green Bay. When they punted, that was Matt LaFleur's message to his team, I have no faith in you.
Yeah.
We're going to do it again just like we did in Week 12. And they kicked the ball. It was an absolutely gutless maneuver. And that was the game.
Were you losing your mind?
I was. I was honestly at that point I was yelling. I wasn't yelling. I was whispering. I was saying, you have to go for it here. Like, you have to change the momentum of the previous game you played there in week 12 where you got crushed. You've got to go for it. You're on the 50th yard line. What are you going to do? Punt and pick up 30 yards?
Yeah.
And sure enough, they punt. And what happens? The Niners shred them and go right down the field, put 6 on the board.
Yeah.
The place erupts, and the game's over.
And guess what your QB was thinking about that play? He must have been like, are you kidding me?
He was thinking, you're telling me I don't – you have
you
no faith in me.
You don't trust me to get 1 yard.
You don't trust me.
Then it's really game over.
That was the game. I'm telling you, it was the game. Like, it's easy to say it now, but at the moment, I was like, you have to go for it. You're not on your own 15.
Right.
It's 4th and 1 on the 50 in their building. They're better than you. They know it. You know it. The fans know it. I couldn't believe how cocky and arrogant some of the Niner fans are. And I couldn't say anything about it.
Right.
I couldn't because, like, this is a team.
Oh, you couldn't.
Dude, they won, I think, 4 games a year ago. 4. 4 games. They had the second overall pick. And these guys, I heard people saying they had made plans for Miami before the game, that they were all, I was talking to Niner fans, all good people.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, you guys had a good run, like, before the game started. You know how tough that is to listen to some guy be like, you guys had a good run, and then they're up 27-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's totally warranted, that type of arrogance.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, Duffy called the score on Saturday. He sent me a DM. He's like, tough that you're going to fly to San Francisco and your team's going to lose by 17. He nailed the score.
You know what I feel bad about? If I stay with the Pats, I only know 2 people who are Niners fans. Duffy and Scotty Mack.
Well, Lindsay Hamilton, too. I picked up on that.
Apparently she.
Since when?
Well, her jerseys
I think
came
she's
out
always
yesterday.
Been a... I noticed on Instagram she had 15 different Niner jerseys.
The thing is, Brian, I called both of them and I said, you know what? Congrats. You're going to a Super Bowl.
Right.
Because all I've heard from you is complaining for...
Oh,
years.
Scotty Mack being the worst, and he was more arrogant than anyone. He was sending me messages on Saturday, too, being like, I think we got this. I'm like, thanks, dude. I'm out here.
Yeah.
But Duffy used to. Jed York, who I believe is, like, you know, the owner of the team or whatever, used to get roasted by Niner fans about how pathetic he was and how big of a joke it was. And now everyone's like, he's the greatest. Niners ownership is the greatest. Kyle Shanahan's the greatest. John Lynch is the greatest. And I can't fight it. They're in a Super Bowl. No, they're a great team.
The thing about it, I was thinking, I just called them to congratulate them, and my Pats are probably going downhill.
Niners are going up.
And I might have to wait 15 years for that callback. Wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Who knows?
I mean, you never know.
You don't think
the
Pats can make it back there next year?
Well, if Brady leaves and Gronk doesn't come back and then Belichick and who the hell knows?
I mean, it could be a lot worse. You could be like a Lions fan or a Bengals fan.
I've got a buddy from Edmonton who is a diehard Cincinnati fan.
Oh, that hurts. That is a struggle.
Like diehard Bengals fan.
Yeah.
Won't and has been since I've known him. I've known him for 40 years, and he's been a Bengals fan for as long as I can remember. Have they done anything in the last 40?
They made it to
something in
the Super Bowl in 89,
I was going to say, late 80s, there was some
Boomer Esiason. They lost to the Niners, I believe.
Yeah, they won a game when a guy was living in his garage and said he wouldn't come down until they won. One game.
Well, that was this year. When they were 0-13 or whatever. And Joe Burrow, I mean, he's going to go there first overall. So they got themselves a quarterback, you would think. But, I mean, all in all, it was an incredible experience, a great weekend. San Francisco's a great town. Traveling was awesome. But it is Blue Monday today. And I think that's more about, you know, you realize, okay, we're in deep here with the winter, which we are.
Yes.
The holidays are far enough behind us. You got to start paying for the holidays if you're looking back, like that Visa, American Express, MasterCard companies, they're calling up.
That's showing up now.
It's time to pay, and it's dark outside. So you got that going anyway. And then from my perspective, I fly out there. The Packers don't show up and get roasted. That futures bet that I made like a year ago goes up in smoke.
Rinsed.
Bit of a delay.
I thought about that, too.
That one hurt.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Yeah.
That one really hurt. And then I'm tracking the Leaf game on Saturday night from San Francisco. My dad writes me and goes, they're already on a bye. It's pathetic. They're brutal. They're awful. Like, he's turning on them. He's freaking out. And then I land, and I get an email that the NHL announced that the game of the decade was Game 7 in 2013. I'm like, can we add, like, let's get something else going here. Tell me that Vlade Guerrero Jr. has demanded a trade and Siakam is out for the year. Like, let's just keep going. Like, what else can you... What else can you add to my plate that'll make Blue Monday even worse?
Actually, that's the poll question.
What else can we do?
What else could go worse for Blue Monday?
Like, the Leafs are out of the playoffs.
I know.
I leave for 48 hours. I come back. They're out of the playoffs. Like, I'm in a bad mood, and I'm grumpy anyway. Yeah. But I look at the standings. Columbus is ahead of them. Now, full credit to Columbus. John Tortorella has that team playing. They grind. Yeah. They muck it out. They lost everyone in the offseason. They are depleted
coach,
with
you
injury.
You want to talk about coach of the year.
Well, I got to think he's clearly in the running if they get in. He has to be. It is an absolute embarrassment that Toronto is chasing a team like Columbus. Chasing a team because of the circumstances in Columbus.
Yeah, not because of, you know, like you said.
Because the Leafs have put themselves in this spot. The Leafs clearly have more talent. They're clearly better. But Columbus is like, we're not going to allow, we're not throwing away a season. We're now the Leafs have 33 games to prove that they're not going to throw away a season. Because that's what they're doing right now. Here we are again, on the outside looking in. And that comment by Sheldon Keefe, man, did that ring out.
That's the first thing I thought about the other night when he said, maturity.
Well, let's hear the clip, and then we'll go around the table on how we interpreted that. Here was Sheldon Keefe post-game Saturday night.
When you go through these types of things, such as Florida, such as this, it's just a sign of where you are, that you're not where you want to be. And reality checks come. I thought that we were an immature team down in Florida. I thought we were an immature team here today. That's how we're approaching these things. We're not performing. We're not playing with any level of discipline or consistency, and that's what happens.
That's the best word, immature. They probably went out and went bonkers Friday in Florida. They couldn't play Sunday and man up, and then they probably said, "We talk about always the U-Haul or whatever. You like getting ready to go on vacation. and they just said, you know what, this one's a mail it in too. Immature is the best word.
But you know what's funny? Like, I'll say this as a joke, but you were like, when the Niners fans were like, nah, you guys would get like, there's that level of arrogance around that team that thinking that the cup should just be handed to them because they're a talented team. That's not the case. They got to go and work for it. And to me, they have a lot of talent. They've got a lot of A-listers and but there's also a massive drop-off. Like, you can't ignore what's in front of you. Like, as much as we like the Engvalls and, you know, players like that, other teams have them too. That's the thing. Like, the drop-off between top players and the guys who are filling out their roster is massive. And that's where if the top players don't perform, we're seeing what's happening. And it's Freddie.
What about just throwing your sticks out
Tyson,
there?
It's but that's it's the top players, the guys who are making a ton of money. And yeah, some of the stats are there, but are they there consistently? Or do they go on these massive streaks, and then when it's cold, it's feathers? And that's to a man. I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm not taking a shot at Nylander or Matthews or Marner or whatever, but Freddie's cold. Morgan's been inconsistent. Tyson Barry hasn't been there. Austin's been amazing, but also been pedestrian. Tavares and Marner have had injuries, and they haven't been great some nights, but the stats look great.
Yeah, I think Cassidy went crazy last night.
Yeah, I watched that game.
In the back of his head, he's probably thinking, you know what, we're still good. Like, we don't need to. But when you're not in the playoffs.
Well,
no, it's a rude awakening because, you know, I mentioned what I mentioned about Columbus. And listen, I have respect for what Columbus is doing. My point being is they're fighting. Like, that's how they're in. You look at their team, like, Seth Jones is a great player. Wierenski's a great player. Dubois is a very good player. And they're getting goaltending out of left field from a guy that most people have no idea who he is.
Merleskins. He's really good.
And full credit to him. Yeah. But that's a team that has decided, you know what, we're going to play with a chip on our shoulder. Everyone thinks we're a joke because everyone left.
Right.
As they should. Like, Panarin's like, I'm not signing here. Are you crazy? Bobrovsky's like, get me out of here. Duchesne. They all left. Yeah. And this team's like, we're not going to accept it. And you're right about the Leafs and their arrogance. They just feel like they've accomplished something. Columbus has won more than them. Columbus won a playoff series last year. Leafs haven't won a playoff series in 15 years. And immaturity, that comment, I'm sure a lot of people thought, oh, he's talking about defensive breakdown. No, he's not. He's talking about exactly what you're talking about. Extra day in Florida, mail it in Sunday. Bye week, mail it in Saturday.
Yeah.
These guys.
Not even mail it in. It's not understanding that. Everybody knows you probably went out Friday night, so man up. Like,
right.
You gotta.
And everyone knows you got a bye week.
Right.
But so does every other team.
Wouldn't you think in a bye week, that would be their best game of the year? The hardest working game of the year? I don't have to play for a week.
That's the hardest part in looking back at this. You got to live with that one. And then there's some teams that are still playing just going to pick up points. So you're going to come back 10 days from now, and that picture that you just pointed out could be not a lot worse, but worse.
They could be 3 or 4 points out.
Correct. And then now they've got a hill to climb, and that messes with you psychologically. I think, guys, it's best to get their bodies and minds some rest, but you want to leave on that high note. Like, Chicago's dancing. They rinsed the Leafs the other night. They rinsed Winnipeg last night. Yeah. They're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, they're
loving life right now.
But you could see, like, Saturday night's game was a very unique game. And yes, you know, Freddie's got to be better. Defensive system's got to be better. Top players have to deliver. But, I mean, you got to find a way to get it done when you know you're not playing for 10 days in your own building. And they didn't.
Yeah, they did not.
Close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
And there have been multiple examples of that.
Right,
like, the Florida game was really ugly. Saturday was ugly. The Edmonton game, they just got outplayed from start to finish.
Yeah.
And the Jersey game, they kind of shut it down in the third. Like, it's just been a really rough stretch where defensively they're not playing well. Freddie Anderson is killing them right now. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, you can't have an .881 save percentage or whatever it's been, .890 since the beginning of December. You can't have it when your team is running into defensive issues anyway based on how they play, and Riley's out and Muzzin's out. That's the most obvious answer for them to bounce back. He's got to play better.
Like, if they had any kind of resemblance of a structure in front of him, what?
It would go a long way. Like, a long way. But he's still, there's goals going in where you're like, that can't go in.
Yeah, it's one bad goal.
It can't go in.
It's one bad goal a game, at least in the last 10 or 11. My worry, though, is like when you look at these other teams you talked about in the Island or Pittsburgh or, you know, whoever, Columbus, yeah, their goalies have been good. But the team has been good in front of them, too. Like, there is some systematic play. I blame all of them. Yes, Freddie has to own what Freddie's doing. No doubt about that. Like, if you ask me, you know, about Freddie's play, look in the mirror first, and then you start talking about other things. So Freddie has to be better. But, you know, it shows that their depth in defense, but it also shows that their forwards don't seem to give a damn about their own end. Because other teams, they'll leave points on the table to win 2-1. And we thought, honestly, what was the template that they won 2-1 the other day? Where we were like, that's a really hard-fought game against a really good team. I'm drawing a blank on who they beat. It was...
Well, they beat the Islanders a couple of weeks ago, like 3-0. And
yeah, it was even a closer game than what we're talking about. And I thought, okay.
Well, they lost to Calgary 2-1, but they played
maybe
that
was
okay.
The game. Sorry, maybe that was the game.
They were the better
like
team there,
hard
and
fought
they did
game.
Play well.
Riddick
yeah.
made some great saves.
Well, yeah. I can use an NFL analogy for you.
Sure.
Because I just witnessed it in San Francisco. A perfect example of guys with uber talent buying in.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Garoppolo is not Mahomes. You know, he's not Wilson. He's not even Rodgers. But
didn't throw it a whole bunch.
8 times. Okay? He's in a Super Bowl. He is connected on 17 passes through 2 games. I believe he had 11 completions a week ago against Minnesota. He went 6-for-8 yesterday against Green Bay. He doesn't care. If we're going to run it all night, fine. That's not going to get him on SportsCenter. That's not going to get him endorsement deals necessarily.
No.
George Kittle is a legitimate superstar. He had 3 catches a week ago. He had 1 yesterday. But you know what he did all night? He blocked like a madman. A madman. George Kittle, he could easily go to the sidelines and say, I want the ball here. Like, right. I'm not playing this game all night. He didn't. He bought in. He said, I'll do whatever I have to. And that's a football analogy, but George Kittle is to the NFL what Mitch Marner is to the NHL, right? Like,
right.
Austin Matthews or whoever you want to use.
Right.
But what would that comparison be for that? Like, what's Austin Matthews going to say? You know what? I only want to get 2 shots on that tonight, and I'll be better.
Well, it's not about that, but it's about where your priorities have to be. Like, if you've got to play a shutdown game because that's the game that's being... Right. It's not going to be... sports is not... You don't play the same type of game every night.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're like, we got to win one night, 1-0 tonight.
I'm glad
like,
you brought that up.
It's just going to be a weird game.
Or make it look a little bit different than what we're doing.
Right. They want to win 6-5 every night.
I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things I've been kind of messing around with in my head and thinking about this team is they want to play that puck possession, high energy, high speed. But I'm all right with that. But when I'm watching this team, like, I don't want Martin Marincin circling back with the puck. Like, I don't.
Right.
I'm fine with Tyson Barry and Morgan Rielly and, you know, like, even Justin Hall is a guy that I think is a really fine player, but...
Stay in your lane a little bit.
Exactly. Like, these are things that
hit a guy.
Safe, smart game. You don't think if I'm on the other side and I'm going, okay, this team... When the big boys are out there, they want to hit them with speed, but they're looking for the perfect pass. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to pressure. And guess what happens with pressure, with guys who can't handle the pressure? Turnovers, seams, all of that, chances on the net, and then the goalie's not making the save in the back of the net. I consistently watch that with the Leafs where I get the puck possession. I get you want to play a certain way. But to your point, there's some nights where there's no space on that ice. Where the safe play is, relieve pressure into the neutral zone, go win a loose puck battle.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know.
Every game is played differently.
It's a different canvas.
Like the Niners, they've won 2 weeks in a row by just running the ball and defending well. They might have to score 50 in 2 weeks.
Right.
So what are you going to do? You got to try to score 50. Maybe Garoppolo's got to throw the ball 35 times in the Super Bowl.
You might have to.
The UFC... Conor McGregor with a big win on Saturday night. I had one beef in San Francisco. I'll tell you about that. We'll get into the UFC fight from Saturday night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so this is my worst nightmare. This song, I hate this song.
Did you hear it? Like,
I showed up. My brother and I, we got there probably around 12:30. Kickoff was at 3:40. There were 50,000 people already there. And, you know, 10,000 different tailgates. Every tailgate was playing this song. Bang Bang Niner Gang. That's all it was playing. Like, all in unison. It was like a big... It was like Woodstock for Niner fans. And this is E-40, a rapper to the Bay Area.
That's awesome.
It is cool. I mean, I had seen the hashtag before. I never really paid attention to it.
Me neither.
Bang Bang Niner Gang. And it was playing in the stadium all night. All I heard was Bang Bang Niner Gang and Niners first down.
Let me ask you, just before we get
that's
to
all I heard.
Guest, but I did you float around and try and be like... tailgate guy? Did you join into a couple tailgates?
No.
Did you like lock eyes with somebody and give like the friendly wave? Like, hi, how
I
are you?
I think they were somewhat welcoming, but I don't think they're they don't want some random guy showing up like it. And that's not me. You know that. I'm not stopping and being like, hey guys, you think I could join in on your tailgate?
Hamburger and a
beer? Maybe your brother-in-law was like maybe a little bit more outgoing.
Well, he stood out big time because he was totally neutral. Like at least I had a Packers.
He's Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is my favorite. That was
That
was the best picture on Twitter last night.
Yeah, it was great. The NFL hat.
And his, like, stone-cold face just staring into the screen like neutral guy.
Right.
I would wear that hat in a heartbeat.
Just wants a good game. Huh. Everyone to have fun. Rob Lowe supports everyone having a good game.
By the way, that guy's like, I think he's 60 years
old. He's so good-looking.
He is. I'll bet his bar play could still be... top 10
Rappler, how
in
old
Hollywood.
Is he? I think he's 60.
I don't know if he's 60.
He's in his 50s anyway, though.
He's 55 if he's a day. But, like, he's good-looking, and he had it down right. If he was going neutral, just the NFL hat.
Yeah. Well, he's 55 years old. He's 55, Rob.
He looks 35.
Yeah.
Tanned up.
But it was quite the experience. I didn't have any issues. Like, no, I had one issue. One issue. I was walking out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's packed, and I'm out in the corridors, and I get punched in the ass. And
by Odell Beckham?
It wasn't like big, but it was a punch in the butt. And I turn around, and it's like a 5-year-old girl with a Niners face paint staring at me. And I'm telling you. And I turned around, and I go, I didn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think her dad must have like given her the, hey,
give this guy a shot.
Hit that guy. Because he was playing it like the old, he was looking around as if he wasn't paying attention. And she was like 5 years, she was like, it was like my daughter. Like that's what it looked like. And she had Niners face paint. And I think she just punched me.
It could have been a little person too. You never know.
Do you have any idea what any of my buddies would have done? Obviously nothing to the small child.
Had a word with the dad?
No. The dad is going to be keeled over.
He's going to start a fight.
Yeah,
with
what
the
am
dad
I exactly? What do I care? It's a 5-year-old kid. You know, I have a 5-year-old kid.
Try being in the crowd at an MMA fight.
Well, this is my big beef with San Fran. Okay, we went out to dinner Saturday night, and then we had about 45 minutes before McGregor and Cowboy were in the octagon. We go to a sports bar. We find one like a block away. We walk in. Fight's not on.
Yeah,
and we ask the bouncer, we go, why wouldn't you have the fight? He goes, oh, no one really has it in San Francisco. There's only one, there's two bars that I know of that even have the fight.
What?
I'm like, where am I? Like, what are you talking about?
You're on the moon.
Exactly. This is a major American city, and the UFC fight isn't on. I mean, they're on in convenience stores in Toronto. Yeah, you walk into
McGregor.
Exactly. So we haul ass, get in an Uber, go to this one spot, capacity, won't let us in. We walk all the way across town to the other one. As I'm walking up to the front door, I see the Irish flag. He's already been in. He's already knocked him out.
He's done.
And it's over. So it was what was it, like 40 seconds? I missed the whole fight. I saw it later on ESPN.
A couple shoulders.
I had a real issue with San Fran, the fact that the UFC fight wasn't on every single sports bar.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, it was a wild night in Vegas on Saturday night. McGregor, he's back. I mean, according to many, anyway. Let's see what ESPN MMA analyst Brett Okamoto has to say about that. Brett, would you argue... Conor McGregor is officially back after Saturday night.
I mean, that type of question is always tough to answer, especially after 40 seconds of fighting, you know. But here's what I'll say. I'll say that, like, all week he looked motivated. And when I listen to him talk, it reminds me of, you know, 3 years ago when he was at the top of the sport, man. And he wasn't losing to anybody. And he was not only not losing, but he was dominating those types of fights. He was knocking out Jose Aldo, which Jose Aldo is featherweight. was unbeatable for 9 years, and he knocked him out in 13 seconds. Went to the Garden and dominated Eddie Alvarez. I mean, he has the type of skill set and also just the type of aura where I think his opponents have a hard time. They have a hard time dealing with it. I mean, I would say that was part of Cowboy's problem too, is that he just got caught up in that a little bit. And he looked a little stiff in that opening round. And if you're stiff against Connor, then he takes advantage of it pretty quickly.
Brett, what did you make of it? I mean, just Connor's technique, everything. I know 40 seconds and I saw Rogan breaking it down, but was it impressive by Connor? Or like you say, it was more stiffness from Cowboy?
You know, I think it was a combination of both. I mean, Cowboy does have a history of this. I mean, the guy has won more fights than anybody in the history of the UFC. So he's a very, very good fighter. But it is kind of a proven fact at this point that sometimes when he comes out, he's just a little stiff. He's going through the motions. There are guys in this sport, you hear this kind of cliche where they got to get hit before they know they're in a fight, and then they're in it. So that was definitely part of it. I thought that was part of what we saw on Saturday. But it was also Connor's good. You know, Connor is very, very good. And that's why when he fought Floyd Mayweather a few years ago, I said, man, you know, I'm happy to see him box Floyd Mayweather, and I'm happy to see him get all this money, but I'm also kind of disappointed because if this guy stayed in the gym and kept developing his skill set, I mean, he could be special. He could be one of the best fighters we've ever seen. So I think you got to see both. You got to see a little bit of stiffness from Cowboy, but you got to see the brilliance of Connor.
I think it's set up beautifully for Dana White and the UFC, the way it went down, the fact that he dominated the fight. He ends Cowboy in 40 seconds, a guy who's got a great reputation, been around for a long time, racked up tons of stats.
You think 40 seconds is good?
I think it's great in terms of the promotion of the next fight. You know, in the moment, it sucks because if you bought it or you're there, you're like, oh,
like the whole
it's 40
production
seconds.
Of getting in that building and then it's 40 seconds.
Yeah.
You'd have to be thinking, what the hell's going on here?
I'm talking about if I'm Dana White, because now I can't promote. This is the Conor McGregor we all know, we all love. He's back, whatever, whichever catchphrase you want to use. And you set it up for the next fight. And it sure seems like Dana White is pushing the Khabib fight, but Khabib fights Ferguson in April, which means he likely won't fight again until, I don't know, September. I don't see that adding up for McGregor. If McGregor wants to fight, you know, two or three more times this year, how do you see that playing out, Brett?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a fight that these two have to have, because I'll tell you what, I mean, you're absolutely right. Dana White is pretty set on him fighting the winner of Khabib and Tony, and that's particularly true if it's Khabib. I think the UFC knows that if they can make that rematch and they can build off this idea that Conor wasn't at 100%, you know, the first time they fought because he was distracted, and that now, you know, after a 40-second knockout, you know, we're going to get to see the real Conor, quote-unquote, against Khabib. They really like that idea. They like the history and the animosity between the two. But, yeah, Conor wants to go again. I told Dana this myself when I interviewed him on Saturday. I said, I would love to see him fight Jorge Masvidal, man. And I don't think that really messes up anything that you're trying to do in any division, because like, let's say they have that fight, it's kind of a fun fight. Jorge can still fight for the title at 170 and Conor can still go back down and fight at 155. I think that the fans would buy into that idea that they're just going to fight each other in the meantime, and that both of them would get bigger, you know, on their way to a title fight. So that's me as a fan, that's what I would love to see. I would love to see Jorge fight Conor. I think there's definitely a chance of that. But they're going to have some conversations about it, because you can definitely tell. I mean, it's clear as day that the UFC is pretty set on Conor fighting for the 155-pound title against Khabib if he gets by Tony.
Brett, did Cowboy lose any, we'll call it, respect within the fighting world? I know, listen, Twitter is not an indication, but I saw a lot of people saying, are you kidding me? Like 40 seconds. But all I could see that night is them listing his accomplishments, and they were quite proud of him, even though that it didn't go so well in that first 40 seconds. But, you know, in the fighting world, do you sense that he lost anything from fighter to fighter?
Short term. I think short term, you know, people are like, man, Cowboy, you messed up, man. I mean, this was your big fight, and this was arguably the worst performance of your entire career. It's the fastest season he's ever been knocked out. So I think short term, you know, and like you say, Twitter, I mean, you don't put a whole lot of stock in that. But, of course, people are like, man, Cowboy looked terrible. There are some idiots saying that he threw the fight. I mean, obviously, that's ridiculous. But I think long term, it won't matter. You know, I think it's part of Cowboy's legacy that, yeah, he never won a title. He never completely won the big one, but that's not his legacy. His legacy is that he turned around and he fought every month, it seemed like, you know, and he stacked wins, he stacked finishes. He was a guy who was willing to fight anybody at any time. That's his legacy. It's not that he came up short in these big fights. So, yeah, I think short-term the sport is a little bit down, and then they said, man, that was a really poor performance by Cowboy. But give it a few weeks, they'll still hold him in very high regard.
Always great catching up with you. Appreciate the time. Thank you, Brett.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.
Brett Okamoto of ESPN MMA analyst. And, it seems like White is really pushing the Khabib matchup, which I get. That'll be a monster. They'll make more money than they've ever made in company history. But I would love to see him fight Jorge Masvidal. Like, Masvidal has blown up in the last year in terms of who he is, his
right.
reputation. Everyone's going back and finding the clips of him street fighting in Miami with Kimbo Slice and his attitude, how he promotes. I think he would drag the old McGregor out in terms of his promotion, in terms of him starting right. to freak out and yelling and screaming and all that kind of stuff.
That guy had an attitude, Kimbo Slice.
Big time.
Did he ever?
Big time.
Well, his Lieutenant Dan attitude.
A monster. Like, those are scary videos, man.
They actually are. Like, that's...
Guys are getting, like, knocked out on the street. And then people are like...
just in a random backyard or something. They're just...
Yeah, that's fighting. Always where it was.
Yeah,
there's Fight Club.
Pick
that's
up
what
your
it was.
Guy and get him out of here. Like, there's no paramedics around. There's no refereeing.
No ref, like, to check to make sure that everything's good. It's just...
And that's where Masvidal started.
Like, dust up.
Fight, like, street fights in Miami. So, I would love to see that fight. But, you see your boy Floyd Mayweather jump on Twitter and Instagram right after the fight promoting Mayweather versus McGregor 2, because it sounds like, not shockingly, Mayweather's running out of money, he's looking for another payday. Maybe Manny Pacquiao wants to box Conor McGregor.
They're all looking for a piece, because it's money.
He's
guy
making money.
Money.
He was making money.
I spent $65 or whatever the hell it was the other night for 40 seconds.
Yep.
Although some of the fights leading up, we're pretty good.
They're always good.
They can't box again. Great. Why doesn't Mayweather go in the octagon?
He's not going in.
Dusted.
He'd get, because it's both ways. Like, McGregor's not beating them
right.
in a boxing match, and they would get destroyed in the octagon. Like, if
McGregor had put him in like some sort of chokehold or arm lock or arm bar.
Yeah, but McGregor's got to say, "I'm not doing that again," because you already won. That's your specialty. Come and try mine.
But he doesn't care about winning. He cares about getting paid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the whole thing's a spectacle.
I think in McGregor's mind, he has experience from the first fight. He may think in his mind that he can do better the next fight. Now, I don't know what better translates
to. He's not beating Floyd Mayweather.
He's never going to meet...
No.
Mayweather's never
been
lost
doing it for
before.
A living.
He's never lost against legit boxers.
Right.
He's not losing to McGregor.
How much would you pay, though, for... Like, I'm not interested in another McGregor-Pacquiao fight. Are you? At this stage of their careers?
Like, Mayweather-Pacquiao, you mean?
Yeah.
No, sorry,
I say McGregor-Pacquiao?
Yeah.
Mayweather-Pacquiao.
No, I'm not at all.
Like,
and
I'd
I'm not interested
it.
In McGregor-Pacquiao. Like, I'm interested in McGregor-Mayweather to an extent more because of the promotional stuff.
Right.
But not this new McGregor, I'm rehabilitated, and I'm a nice guy, and all
that.
I have no interest in that.
I want to see that Khabib go at him.
That's a fight. I want to see Masvidal and then him take on Khabib. Like, those two I'll pay happily, and I'll be excited for both.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see where it all goes. Ray Ferraro in about 25 minutes. The Leafs are on a bye week coming off a bad loss. They've lost 5-6. They're currently on the outside looking in. Patrick Kane hitting 1,000 points over the weekend.
Yeah.
Touch on Patty Kane and get back into the NFL weekend. Patrick Mahomes, Niners rolling on the Packers. Bit surprising, the early favorite, the early line out of Vegas for the Super Bowl. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us, our TSN hockey analyst, in about 20 minutes. We have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Florida Panthers, a team they're now chasing, February 3rd. Every day this week, we'll provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this player spent his entire career with one NHL team before becoming a member of the Maple Leafs. Bit of a tricky one.
Brian Leetch. I know it is.
It's a Blue Monday. That could be it.
That's what it is.
Owen Nolan.
Me.
Matt Sundin. Jeff O'Neill.
It wasn't Carlo.
Phil Kessel. Like, technically, it's like his whole career could have been one season, right?
No, it's Brian Leach.
The grappler always likes to
he tries
be shady on a Monday.
Yeah, he tries to be a hero.
Could be Freddie Anderson, right? I believe he was only
Freddie
with Anaheim.
Was with Anaheim for, what, 5-6 years, the organization.
Yeah, it could be Freddie. Anyway, Ray coming up again in about 20 minutes. So the line is out. It's an early line. You guys want to guess on what the line, who's favored and by what?
Kansas. KC 3.
KC by 8.
KC by 8.
Yes.
It's KC is favored by 1.5. But I'll be honest. I thought the Niners would be favored.
Really?
Now, the Mahomes factor is clearly what's coming into play here.
That's what I'm saying.
As it should, because of who he is.
This guy put a clinic on yesterday.
I was watching the game. We were at the stadium. We were kind of into the stadium. There was a beer company that had set up a big tent. We're having beers, hanging out. And all Niner fan, Packers fans, like openly rooting for Mahomes without any self-awareness that you don't want to play that guy in the Super Bowl.
I was just saying, you're flat out going to play that guy in 2 weeks.
It was such a sign of appreciation, respect, shock and awe. Like, we saw it live. We're sitting there having beers, watching him go on that run when he ran in for that touchdown to end the first half, which was just a spectacular play. People openly cheering without any self-awareness that this guy's going to be waiting for you in Miami in 2 weeks.
Right.
What are you cheering for?
But you can't help it. Like, that's how good he is.
It was an amazing play. He did a little stop back, like a head fake right there.
Yeah. And threw it off.
And then kept going. You can never, ever, blame the defender. I thought one of these...
Bad tackling.
I was going to say, I thought one of these guys would try and hurt him. You know what I mean? This is for all the marbles.
Yeah.
Well, I think back in the day,
you wouldn't think they'd be going for his knees and stuff?
Packers did that to Garoppolo early in the game yesterday.
That's what I know. Listen, you pull out all the stops here. Like, I thought... Mahomes took his life into his hands when he was running through there, and he made it through.
Try to hit him, they couldn't.
I think back in the day in the 80s, my dad told me, he said, you know, Gretzky, and if you've got one of the best players in the game, you're always going to have to, have a chance to win. And that, because that's what they do. They make such an impact on the game.
That's right.
If you got the best player, you're going to have a chance to win. And it's like Mario, Gretzky, Sid, Ovechkin, sooner or later, they're going to give you a chance to win it all.
Well, we're seeing McDavid.
Well, there's,
Edmonton, you know,
this year anyway, but
right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, but Mahomes, you're right. You're always in the game, always in the game. Now you're flirting with it. Like, they were down 17-7.
I was going to say, they were down early and there were some people on Twitter really enjoying themselves.
Well, it was kind of like, why would you do that to yourself again? Now there's two teams playing. Credit to Tennessee for playing
right
and getting a lead and performing the way they did. But you gave up 24 the week before to Houston. Yeah, you ran away with it after that 51-7 run after the 24-0 lead, but I wouldn't suggest that's a wise plan against San Francisco.
No. They'll crush you.
They will. And that's why I thought the Niners would be favored. I think Mahomes is why Vegas is like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if that line moves and the Niners are favored by kickoff
right. In
2 weeks, because the line will move a fair amount. Because look at what San Francisco demolished Minnesota and absolutely annihilated Green Bay. Like, mauled them over.
They're not messing
over.
Around.
They are not messing around. They are committed. They are well-coached.
They are tough as nails.
I'm picking the Niners today. I mean, I might change by Sunday.
But that's recency bias. You were in the building.
100%. I'll admit to it.
But I'm just saying, watching that performance by Mahomes, how do you bet against him? He's a one-man, technically, wrecking crew the other way.
The worst possible scenario to be in, where you feel like there's a better team, and yet I can't help force of Mahomes pulling me in the other direction.
Because I think he enjoys being on the big stage. Like, he actually, he's loving this.
He is money. He's money. There's no other way to explain it. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league most entertaining player in the league.
Some guys on the big stage shrivel. This guy, he wants more of it.
Well, Rodgers did that yesterday in the first half.
You thought he shriveled?
I thought he did. Like, the Packers' problem was the run defense was horrendous.
He was running for his life yesterday.
He was, but his body language was not strong.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I found it weird, Brian. Beginning of the game, he walked out in the field like he was walking into Yorkdale Mall for a pair of sneakers. It was like, and I know everybody's different, but it was just like, oh, here I go. I'm like, I get it. You're cool and everything, but
give me some intensity. Yeah, give me something.
And maybe he doesn't want that or need that, but I watched it and I thought it was bizarre. It's like, that's a waltz into a mall for an ice cream cone.
Yeah, and he, you know, he threw a really bad pick, which you could see coming. That was the end zone I was in. I was watching it from behind. I'm like, the route fell apart and he threw it, and he knew it right when he threw it. He's like, that's getting picked off. Fumbled a snap. That's maybe on the center more than him, but he factors into it. It was ugly. Like, it was ugly.
Yeah, and there was a couple ugly plays.
Yeah, so the Niners, you know, we'll see. We'll track the line. We'll see what's going to happen between now and the Super Bowl. But you know what was wild about being there last night? There was a guy in front of me in a pair of shorts, diehard Niner fan, shorts guy.
Everyone on the broadcast was like in a jacket.
Well, yeah.
It was like 10 degrees. It
I
was
thought
not
you could
warm.
See your
no,
breath.
It didn't look warm at all.
It was not warm. It was not warm at all. I was in a hoodie. I was layered. I had a jacket. Like, I had gloves. I was gloves guy. There I am up on TSN 4.
I took the jacket off for that pick, just for you guys.
By the way, is that where your seat was?
Yeah. Pretty
That's
much.
Great
They're
seats.
Great seats.
That's legit.
I am going to say
seats.
This because
bookseats.com. They got all the seats you need.
Steph said, she's like, Brian didn't wear, you know, just wore the hoodie. I said, no. That's fake news. I said, he took a picture because he was wearing a black coat on his Instagram.
Absolutely. And then he started teeing it up at the No Balls Open.
No.
Yes, he did. He said what? You had a big jacket on top of that.
No, I didn't. It wasn't a big jacket. It was like a navy coat, but it was. I had a coat, and I was wearing a coat the whole time.
It was like a reveal. What you did is you wore the coat in, went and took the picture,
Early.
Put the coat back on.
That was Early. About an hour and 40 minutes prior
That's
to kickoff.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah. Nobody was rowdy. Oh, nobody was saying anything.
Late
I got
in the
there.
Game, you had that coat buttoned over Dude. Your head.
Well, when it became a two-score game, when it was 34-20, the game was still over, but people there were nervous, and they were starting to yell at Shanahan.
Honest with me. Did you tie that thing around your waist after you took that pick?
No.
You know
no, I had it on the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I had it on the whole time, but I was thinking when it became a two-score game with about 6-7 minutes to go, and the crowd started to get a little bit anxious and a little bit nervous, and they were yelling at Shanahan and yelling at the refs. I was doing the calculation. I was thinking about it like, I might have to buy a Niners jersey to get out of here, because if they choke this away, if somehow Rodgers comes back and the Packers get in, I'm dead. Like, that is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, right. I would leave. I wouldn't even want to be around for that.
I would have bought a Niners jersey to escape. But like, brutal game, man. Can't believe they choked that away. Like,
oh, that goes in the garbage. You get a Niners one, new hoodie. Good job,
go
guys.
The
whatever.
You do a quick change.
Because the mood was, it was kind of,
you could
it was,
feel it,
it was on pause. Right, like they were at the half, they were celebrating. They should be celebrating. After the game, they were jubilant. No one cared about Packer fans. Your team's going to the Super Bowl. What
was
do you
it
care?
Creeping towards the Jays game where things started to get a little bit dicey and you're like, oh, man.
There was just enough time with Rodgers at quarterback where you're like, they could.
If he was going to march twice, it was going to be him. And
quick three and out, and then they score again with 2 minutes to go. They got timeouts and all that. You're like, was honestly like, I was Allen at the blackjack table in The Hangover. I was doing the calculations. I'm like, I might have to buy a Kittle jersey to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, if the Packers win this, there's no way I'm leaving with a Packer sweatshirt on.
That Jays game is the only sporting event I've ever been at where I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, nervous.
You were with your buddy and you guys left. I was
left,
I want to get out of here, man. People were throwing beers.
And we're from Toronto. Like, we're there. We're like, we're here supporting
Little
the home
kids
team.
Were getting hit with beer cans in the right near home plate.
But you know what was wild about shorts guy sitting in front of us? And this is, you've told me about this before. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. He did not sit down once the whole game.
I can't do it.
I'm not kidding you. Not like in between quarters, timeouts. There were injuries where the card had to come out. This guy did not sit down once.
Did somebody yell at him?
No one yelled anything. So
my dad got to watch me play in a Stanley Cup final. He's like, yeah, it was kind of cool, but nobody would sit down.
I was standing 90% of the time. I sat down in between some I'm like,
I don't like that. I like to sit down.
I felt for the people behind me because they wanted to sit down, and they kept sitting down, so they're peering around me, and I'm like, I can't do anything. Shorts guy, who's a gorilla in front of me. This guy was a monster.
You give him the old
sea bass. He was 6'4",
you give him the sea bass. Hey, sit down.
Yeah. This old lady yelling at you for
And then he turns around and sees a Packers gear.
Yeah,
you think that's good? He would have beaten the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And this guy did not move once. He stood the whole game.
I hate that.
Ray Ferraro in the next hour and Marcellus Wiley. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.